When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Tiffany here from Swish, and I want to talk about being a problem solver. In my classroom, I'm always telling my ICFirsties to be problem solvers. In first grade, that's one thing, but in adult life, it's a whole other. It can be really difficult to train your brain to go into a problem-solving mode. Maybe you don't even know where to start. It's a challenge that we all face in life. But when you learn to better help your brain find solutions, it's truly a great feeling. And if you've ever been thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. BetterHelp is convenient, it's accessible, it's affordable, and it's all online. And on top of that, they match you with a therapist just by filling out a brief survey. So when you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/swish today to get 10% off your first month. That's better, HELP.com/swish.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 25 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Jacqueline.
How did we say this? I said Sagna.
Sagna?
And I said Cagna.
Cagna? I'm sorry.
C-A-G-N-A.
You should know that we don't know how to speak, so thank you.
We appreciate you anyway.
Thanks for sponsoring us. We love you. So today we are discussing Chapter 3 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, The Burrow. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to dive into every single itty-bitty detail. Because let me tell you, this dock is full.
Yes,
Megan.
I just want to give a little shout out to somebody on, I think, Twitter. But they were like, I'm so excited for you guys to be on Chamber of Secrets because I'm from, like, England.
I think they said Ireland.
And I'm so sick of hearing you say Sorcerer Stone.
We're sorry.
That's so funny.
Here in America, we don't say that philosopher.
Guys, we should have re-recorded every episode and said philosopher.
Oh, jeez. Oh, or just, like, inserted
philosophers. Every time. Oh, that would have been great.
Oh my gosh. All right. But no, I saw that today and I forgot to comment back on it. That made me laugh. A literal LOL. So thank you for that. So now it's time for our weekly profit. Hit us with it.
Oh, thank you, Katie. Or she already had it open. I opened it again.
Well.
So this week I wanted to talk to you guys about the History of Magic exhibit coming to New York, which we already knew about and we already told everybody, but we have an approximate release date for tickets for New York.
Yep.
So apparently in February sometime, if you're like a part of the organization at the library in New York where it's going to be.
Jelly of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Then you'll be able to get tickets like in February sometime, but they're going on sale to the general public in April. So
that's a big jump.
That's my birth month.
Anybody want to get Tiffany some tickets for her birthday?
Thank you. I did a lot to be born. I just want to thank all the fans.
No. It took like 9 months of work.
that lines up with Cursed Child coming to New York. So this is at least what I would like to try to do, would be to like line up the tickets together.
It would be smart.
So hopefully we can do a...
I would agree with that.
Do a double whammy.
Yeah. And then you could also swing and see Puffs.
If it's yeah, dude. Puffs. Oh, I want to go see Puffs so bad.
That'd be one cool weekend.
It would be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like...
That'd be jam-packed.
I don't know when I can do anything.
I know. I know.
We were like talking about it, and I'm thinking, like, when can I go? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have an infant.
A small human.
I don't control my life anymore. It's over.
I said,
all about the baby.
First family trip to New York to go see History of Magic. Expose just bring one child. Of those little, like, baby Bajorn things.
Baby Bajorn.
Carry that babe around on you.
Oh, man.
And go and see Harry Potter stuff.
Stuff.
I don't know how the baby would do in Cursed Child at that age.
Nah.
But
well, I could bring my mother-in-law.
There you go.
She would love it.
Here,
she
would stay at the hotel.
Totally watch exactly. the baby for you.
Exactly. It's a discussion,
but
sure.
we'll figure that out.
Yeah.
We got a couple
so, yeah,
months.
Tickets go on sale in April.
But if I don't go, that doesn't mean the rest of Swish and Flick will not go.
Oh, we're going with her without her. I love you, but
they're
going.
Yeah, no. I would be mad if you didn't go just because of me. That'd be ridiculous.
So vlog's coming. I know that you can't take pictures or anything inside the exhibit, but we could talk about it.
You know what that means, though. That means it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like we saw way back in, 2011 or no, maybe even before that. I think it was before we graduated high school. I think it was like 07.
I was going to say 09.
I don't know.
We're just throwing numbers out there.
I don't even know what you're getting
at. 2000s, me and Katie went to Chicago to go and see Harry Potter the Exhibition at its first USA stop.
Got you.
It came to New York for a period of time like 2 years ago, and we didn't get to go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to because there was new stuff that we hadn't seen.
Yeah,
like,
there was stuff I really wanted to see.
So like as it goes, when it was out, there were still movies that were coming out. Mm. So like later on, they added more props from later films.
Yeah, they added some Remus costumes to that New York one, and I didn't get to see them.
Yeah. So when that comes back again. But anyway, I was going to say, we couldn't take pictures in the exhibition either, and that was amazing.
It's pretty stingy.
You can take pictures inside Levsden Studios, though, so pretty excited for that. This is going to be a Harry Potter year, Kate.
It is. What year
we're going
is not
to
this
Harry
is also
year.
True.
But, like, this is huge. I mean, like, okay.
You have a
this
lot going
first
on.
First full year doing Swish and Flick.
Mm-hmm. True.
This is going to be, I mean, in, like, 2 weeks, I think, from when this episode will come out, we're going to be going to the celebration of Harry Potter in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You know we're going to go to Orlando a couple times between then and October when we're going to England. And
we'll see.
No, it's happening.
So much.
We have to
go pick
time.
Some money from the money tree in the backyard. We're going to Orlando.
Don't tell people about our money tree.
We're going to England. We're seeing Cursed Child in England. We're seeing Levsden Studios. We're like, it's going to be a Harry Potter trip. We're seeing filming locations. That's basically all we're doing the entire time we're in England.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't blame you. Fantastic Beast comes out.
Beast comes out. Now this History of Magic thing is going to come to New York. Cursed Child is in New York. It's a big Potter year.
It is a big Potter year. I kind of roughly counted all that stuff, and it came to 7.
Shut up!
Amazing.
So, yeah.
All right.
I went on a little rant there, but
that's okay.
It's all related to the weekly.
It's saying so that you guys know admission for non-members will be only $21.
That's awesome. 21 is such a weird number.
It is, but it's divisible by
7. Did you guys talk about that before you got here?
No, I just I don't know why, but like when I was learning times tables, like I picked up 7s first for some reason. I don't know why, because it was like my favorite number, I guess.
Oh, I think this bell's broken.
Yeah, I think it's the bell ringer that's broken.
But I like always just remember my 7s. I can count by 7s like better than any number without even thinking about it. I don't know why. It's weird.
You're magical.
Maybe it's because you're a witch.
Maybe. So $21, $16 for teachers, Tiffany.
What a deal.
And what seniors. Deal. And only $13 for students, $6 for kids. That's awesome.
That is
children
awesome.
Under
you
four
imagine,
get in for free.
Oh, what a cool field trip that would be if you live there. Dude.
That's totally within the
those
range.
New Yorkers
for kids to go
get all the good
trip.
Stuff.
Dude, there's so much there.
Mm-hmm.
I do like the museums.
I do feel a little bad for the West Coast, though.
Yeah.
There's like nothing out there.
Nothing ever goes
there's
there.
Disneyland.
It's not Disney World.
Disneyland's OG, though. Walt touched Disneyland. He didn't really get to touch Disney World that much, unfortunately. Mm. I mean, a little, but not a lot.
Good old Walt. Walt.
Yeah, I also do kind of feel bad because, like, while the West Coast has the Wizarding World of Harry Potter,
they don't
it's
have,
nowhere near yeah. as cool as Orlando's Wizarding World. Yeah. They don't have Diagon Alley, which yeah. is, like, the best part.
Dude.
So.
Dude, Diagon...
So good. I know.
It's just so good.
I cannot wait to be there. And shout out to the Brookhart Project. You guys better have your passes by the time we're down there so that mm-hmm. we can take you mm-hmm. around the Do Wizarding it. World of Harry Potter.
Do it.
So now on to this long chapter.
Oops.
Long butt chapter.
All right, so we have to do the recap. Wait, wouldn't it be a long bottom chapter?
Oh! This chapter is really long, though.
But it wasn't. Actually, it wasn't.
The next yeah. chapter is longer.
The next chapter is longer, but... Oh, well.
All right. Let's recap this.
Recap. So, we met Dobby, which, when I typed this in the doc, it kept making it Bobby, and that made me laugh. Anyway.
Bobby.
Dobby, not yet a free elf, came to warn Harry of a terrible plot that was going to be taking place at Hogwarts this year and told him to not go back to school. Of course, Harry would never say he wouldn't go back. So while the Dursleys are having their dinner party, Dobby ruins it by smashing Aunt Petunia's pudding all over the floor and left Harry to take the blame.
And again, I want to say, Harry, just say you're not going back.
He can't.
Yes, he can.
I literally cannot say those words.
Mm-mm, he could.
It would hurt him too much.
No, he could do it.
It would split his soul into seven.
Seven pieces. So he gets shut up in his bedroom and he gets bars on his window. But this
okay,
chapter,
like, that's child abuse.
It is.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, what part of the Dursley household isn't child abuse?
He's getting fed through a cat that's flap.
Poor child.
That's abuse.
Cold soup.
Cold soup and giving it to Hedwig. Jeez.
All right. So this chapter, the burrow. So Ron, Fred, and George come to save the day with a flying car. Harry is broken out of his bedroom and escapes the Dursleys. He explains all about Dobby and wonders if he was foolish to have taken the whole thing seriously. He gets his first look at a wizarding home, and after a very angry Molly Weasley goes on a rampage at her sons, we meet Mr. Weasley for the first time.
What up, Arthur?
Arthur?
Arthur? All right. So, within the next couple of chapters, we have the escape from dot, dot, dot. So there's a lot of escaping in this book. So we start our chapter with who's looking through that glass? Well, hello, Mr. Ronald Weasley. And I love that they're just like parked in the sky in the Ford Anglia. And Fred and George are there, too. And so Ron, like right away, he's like, why haven't you been answering my letters? Like, mm-hmm. I've asked you to stay about 12 times. 12! There are so many colors and numbers in these chapters.
Repeating ones, too. Like, colors, okay. But, like, so many repetitive numbers.
Really, though. Okay. So we're gonna be dinging all those.
Yeah, like, a lot this chapter.
Yeah. So
I'll be on my game.
Arthur knows about the magic that was done at the house. And so Ron scolds Harry about it, and Harry's like trying to explain real quick, like through this window, and Ron tells him to quote stop gibbering. I was just like, I don't ever remember reading that before, and I was like, oh my god, Ron. Like,
my note right here, like in the chapters I was reading it, was Ron scolds Harry, it's so cute.
Well, he's like his Wizarding World teacher, like we said right. before, like a million times, and so he's like, what are you doing? You know you can't use magic. And Harry's like, yeah, I know.
I know.
I
know.
I didn't. So Fred and George start to free him. And during this time, I noted that Hedwig realizes how important it is for her to remain quiet.
Mm-hmm. That's and a smart bird.
I just think that's so cool. Like, she can't be, like, just a bird. Like, these magical owls are not just owls. They're not muggle owls. Like,
like we've talked about it before, right? Like I guess we came to the conclusion that they probably don't really have protection on them, but mm-hmm. you know how they like can brave all the elements, and there's just something about them that
they know
is
what
a
you're talking
different.
About. Yeah, and yeah. she has personality. She has feelings and emotions. When she's mad, she'll nip him. Mm-hmm. You know, when she's happy,
sassy.
She is.
Hedwig is, oh my God.
She is sassy, like Harry, Harry in bird form. But truthfully, if I'm hungry, I will nip people as well.
Right. I get.
Is that not true?
It's true.
Okay.
I get, quote, hangry.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
I turn into, like, the Hulk.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah. And that's why we should just tell them what we're going to do down here. So we're in my my basement. Took over, I don't know, what do you say? This is like a third of my husband's man cave. Mm-hmm. So thanks, Marty. And I was like, now that I'm pregnant, I'm like, I have to like snack all the time. I'm not so much sick anymore, but I love
But she
some
was.
Snacks. I was really sick. I was like, we should get a snack box down here. I'm like, we're getting chips and goldfish crackers.
She sent us like exclamation points, like, bring some snacks over. It'll be great.
I just get really excited about snacks. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not sorry.
Not judging.
All right. Back to this chapter, you know, Harry and the Potter's here. Mm-hmm. So Hedwig's quiet and they use the car to pull the bars off the window. And how epic and important is it that Arthur taught his children to be curious and appreciate Muggle things? Because now they use a regular hairpin or a pin of Bobby, if you will, to pick the lock on the door to Harry's bedroom. And I wrote in parentheses, Muggle tricks are appreciated. None of this would have ever happened had Fred and George not known how to use these Muggle tricks or whatever, mm-hmm. or like appreciate Muggles.
I wrote in my, I don't know if it was in this chapter, or if it was another time. I think it may have been at the Burrow, but it fits here too. I had wrote in my notes, I was like, it's funny that like, kids of the Wizarding World kind of have to live like Muggles, even though they don't yeah. really associate it with that, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they can't just cast a spell and unlock a door, you know? They have to figure out the Muggle way of doing it, aka picking a lock.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's funny how, like, they seem so oblivious to Muggles, but, mm-hmm. like, they kind of live that way for the first 17 years of their life.
They can reap the benefits of magic done by others, but they themselves are essentially Muggles. Unless they perform that kind of magic, you know,
right,
without realizing it. But I'm not sure how much Lily controlled it.
See, I feel like mostly kids will... Can you hold this for a little bit? Mostly kids will... it'll just kind of like happen and it's not something that is controlled at all. Like I think that what they showed in the movies, and I think that they showed that in the books too.
Yeah.
Of Lily, like really being able to control it. Like she would fly off the swings.
Yeah.
Yes. And like control herself to come down or make a flower appear in her hand or whatever. Yeah. Lily
flying off the swing. Voldemort. Hello. Flying without aid. New theory. Lily is Voldemort. JK. People are going to be like, why would you compare those two?
Yeah, why would you?
I'm sorry, whatever.
But yeah, no, it's just like, I think that that kind of magic, it's very rare for them to be able to control it, I would think. I think it's more so like emotional. It happens whenever they're very angry or when they're scared or upset or something like that. Like
or maybe
Neville.
Feeling like full of joy, like Lily right. was on the swing.
Yeah, or like Neville, whenever he gets pushed out of a window, finally he's like, oh, magic, I can bounce, you know? So it's like he was scared that he was going to die. So, well, he's going to fix it, even though he's underage.
I know. I know.
I wonder if like something like that were to happen. I mean, I guess it would, because just thinking ahead to Prisoner of Azkaban, that happens with Harry, with Aunt Marge, and he should have gotten a warning from the ministry.
That's like some underage magic
like,
stuff, because
he couldn't control that. Yeah. It just kind of happened.
He didn't even have his wand.
Right. So I think it's kind of unfair at times for them to be penalized for that.
Yeah.
But that's for another episode.
That's for our Ministry of Magic episode.
Yeah.
That we've never talked about, but we'll have.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe.
What?
Maybe, because I have this theory. Mm. I mean, I'm probably wrong because, like, it would be a huge announcement, but I'm hoping that at the celebration of Harry Potter, they're going to announce the Ministry of Magic. And then if they do, then we could do a Ministry of Magic episode.
Perf.
Yeah.
Perf.
But here's hoping. I don't know if they will. But
that would be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So pick and locks. And during this time, there is a mad dash to gather all of Harry's things that are in his room while the twins get his trunk and other items from the cupboard under the stairs, and then they have to pick another lock.
Movieism, that doesn't happen in the movies. I mean, bookism doesn't happen in the movies.
It's not a bookism, it's canon.
Bookism.
This really actually happened, but it's a bookism.
I guess I just meant that, like, it only happened in the
movies. I got you. Yeah. I got it. All right, so all of Harry's things are now in the car, and just as he's climbing in, Hedwig flips out. Because he forgets her. How do you figure out your BFF?
Harry.
Gosh, Harry.
Vegetables together.
I would never forget Iggy. I would never forget Iggy.
I would not forget Fozzie Bear, but he just left us, so I don't know. So Vernon wakes up with a lovely, that ruddy owl, and smashes through the door. So then a scuffle happens, and Vernon dives at Harry, and it says he's bellowing like a bull. He snatches his ankle, and he's yelling at Petunia. He's getting away. And so finally, Harry slips loose, and the car shoots off, quote, towards the moon, which I really like that.
Yeah.
So God, that'd be a cool painting. Sorry.
No, it would. Just the Ford Anglia, like, yes, going up. Well, that's big actually, old moon.
I think that that's the cover of the Bloomsbury paperback Google Chamber
it.
Of Secrets.
Google it. See if it's there. Dear internet.
I have it.
You do?
I want to see it. On Instagram Live, Rochelle and Bo said hashtag Hedwig BFF.
Yeah, but really though.
Oh, it's not at the moon, but it is the Ford Anglia. Here, I'll show you guys.
Yeah, show it to me.
All right.
Oh, it's very small.
Oh, you're showing them and not me?
Yep.
Here we go. Oh, this is...
That's when they're flying to Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Story straight.
Okay, dear artists who are our listeners, paint it.
Yeah.
Please.
Paint it, draw it, whatever. I would love to see a picture of the Ford Anglia shooting off in the sky towards the moon. And if you can get the three Dursleys hanging out the window, be icing on that cake.
Oh, yeah.
It would be.
All right, so all three Dursleys are hanging out the window. Harry yells, "See you next summer." Hello, sassy Harry.
Gosh.
And so Harry immediately is like, get Hedwig out of her cage. So they pick the lock on the cage. And so for the first time in ages, she's let out of her cage and she's free to fly. And when I was reading that, it almost made me want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that poor little bird cooped up? And they need to spread those wings? Can you imagine not being able to, like, stretch your legs?
No.
You know? That's what I kind of equate that to. And so while they're in the car, Harry fills them in on the situation with Dobby, and we discover that house elves have a magic all of their own, and they usually can't use it without their master's permission.
Hmm. That, I mean, imagine the punishment he had to give himself. Didn't he say he had to iron his ear or shove his ears in the oven or
something? Door or something like that.
I really liked, I don't know if you're going to touch on this, but I really liked Fred and George's, like, assumptions on, hold on, let me find it.
Sure.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This whole little section is just like super involved, and like there's so much information that gets thrown.
There's a lot.
Oh, earlier I said, how the heck does Harry still call that place home? Like, you know how it's like, oh, well, mm-hmm. He always has to call that place home, otherwise the spell breaks.
Right.
How had he ever? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Out of habit.
Oh, I put that Fred and George have an interesting take on the whole idea of Dobby coming to Harry. They're like, no, I reckon he was sent to stop you.
As a joke.
Yeah. So,
like, they always think everything is a joke.
Yeah. So I put that in here. I said, so since a house elf can't go or like do things without master's permission, they automatically assumed that it was a joke because someone sent the house elf. Mm. I'm just thinking in regards to house elf magical power, I just like licked my mic. How powerful Dobby really is to have pulled himself away without their permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think
he's
special.
A one of a kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dobby is certainly special.
Because, like, if you think about it, I really do think a majority of house elves are, like, winky.
Mm.
And, or creature. You know, I mean, they're, mm-hmm. they're very loyal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to stray from what the tradition is mm-hmm. of, like, what their role is.
Mm-hmm.
They're just complacent.
Yeah, and, like, Dobby makes me think, so like obviously the whole idea of house elves is a parallel in my mind to slavery,
yes.
Right? So Dobby to me is kind of like those, he is like those slaves that rebelled,
yeah.
You know, like yeah. He brought a voice to it
mm-hmm.
and he kind of starts it.
Well, he was like leading the charge of the house elves right. And then, you know, thinking to the final battle and creatures jumping and he's got the locket bouncing off his chest and he's like, mm-hmm. Do this for Regulus and my master and whatever. Yeah. Now and, like, he had a different relationship with his
right
master, but no, I completely get what you're saying. Like he's Dobby kind of started like an elf revolution.
Rebellion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope that was a literal thing afterwards, you know,
I would think
the house elf rebellion of what? 1998,
97. Isn't it canon? Sorry. I'm eating ice.
Oh my god. Rule number one has been broken.
Isn't it canon that Hermione does something with SPEW?
Yes. Spew, so, you mean?
Yeah. So obviously it starts something.
Yeah.
Ben Prophet on Instagram Live says maybe Draco said something like, I wish Potter wouldn't show up to school this year, and then Dobby used that as permission to prevent Harry from going
back
to school.
I can dig that for sure.
And then Rachel, I'm sorry I said your name wrong before. Dobby was really good at finding loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is true. Yeah. He is.
Or just fixing things by punishing himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without having to tell them, because it's what he would have had to have done anyway.
They ignored right. him so much anyway.
True. He's like an elf Harry.
Yeah.
All right. So they're like, this is a joke. Could be a joke, right? And they're like, do you know anybody at school that, you know, doesn't like you? And Harry and Ron are like, oh, yeah, Malfoy. And so they're like, oh, we've heard of not Malfoy, like Lucius Malfoy's son or whatever. So I pulled up a little bit of a fact file on him. And I looked up his name. I looked up the name Lucius, and it's derived from Latin meaning light.
Hmm.
I think that makes a lot of sense, actually.
I could not connect that. So fill me in on your thoughts.
He has blonde hair.
There's that. No, but I mean, obviously, obviously he's not a likable character. He is loyal to Voldemort. He offers his home to Voldemort, but there is this odd light in him, even though he obviously is very pro Death Eater for most of the film. Like at the end, or movie, books. Oh my God, I can't talk.
That was a megism.
At the end of the series, him and Narcissa and Draco all do kind of turn to the light. And it is at the very last minute. And it doesn't really prove that they
are good.
But they don't really, in the end, want to stick with Voldemort's ideals.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, there's got to be some light in him for Draco to end up the way that he did at the end of the series. I mean, I know I feel a lot of that was Narcissa. Like, yeah. she obviously showed a love towards him and cared about him enough to go.
I think Narcissa changed.
Lucius.
Well, I think her thoughts changed once Voldemort put Malfoy up for the task.
And I think that may have been when Lucius started to change too,
because their son was going to die.
They did a really good job in the movies portraying this, where you can just see visually that Lucius is broken down.
Yeah,
I mean he doesn't look put together.
I love him.
He's so good. He doesn't look put together. He doesn't look himself. He's not like, I mean, in all the other times you see him, he's very
pristine.
Yes. He's groomed. He takes pride in the fact that he has money and
his
he can
nose
look
is
this way.
His, really
yes,
high.
His nose is always up. But whenever you see him in Deathly Hallows, his head is down. His hair is not combed. He doesn't. I don't know.
He let himself go.
Yeah. And I think that that is when the light started to come through with him.
Okay.
And I am by no means
condoning,
defending Lucius Malfoy.
All right.
Because, I mean, he's an idiot.
Yes.
But I think that that's kind of a play on where his character is potentially going to go.
Okay. I can get that.
Katie, you had your hand raised.
Hannah wanted to know if Malfoy meant something bad, so it might be, like, bad light?
Well, mal means light.
Yeah.
Or bad.
Yeah.
I know the word mal does.
Oh, and then some Meg K. Webb said that Malfoy's derived from bad faith.
Yeah.
So maybe he's got conflict. That double part.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a conflicted character.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a conflicted character for sure. It might not come in until the end, but
right.
Conflicted is conflicted. I mean, Darth Vader didn't start to change his ideals until he was pretty much dead, so...
Right.
IJS, guys. How much of a sneak peek are you going to give our friends there?
Probably. This is about it.
We love you guys. Deuces. Moving on. Mr. Malfoy Sr.'s fact file. Birth year around 1954. Wand, 18 inches elm dragon heartstring. After the Battle of the Seven Potters, he began using an unknown wand.
It's a big wand. 18 inches?
18.
Dang.
That's like Hagrid.
Well, he always had
it
in his, like, cane.
His walking stick or whatever. Yeah.
So I guess it wasn't really ever as obnoxious, I guess, as others.
Go tell Marty I already fed him. I was like, no. All right.
He's getting double dins.
Double dippins of the kibble. Houses. This would be a good spot for a commercial break.
Yeah, commercial break right here.
Did he hear you?
No.
Damn it.
Sorry.
No strings.
Still taking that commercial break. Also, when did you swear? Is that before my summary? Yeah, it was before the recap. Meg swears.
He was about to take down a whole other bowl of food. Oh, you can put a box trick commercial there.
That's fine.
I put it in a note.
Okay. All right. All right, ready? Yes. Okay. So Lucius Malfoy's house is obviously Slytherin. They only list his father as parents. Abraxas
Malfoy. That's a cool name.
That was pretty cool.
Abraxas. I did not look up the meaning of that, but I wouldn't even know where to begin. then it says skilled duelist and potioneer.
Wait, Lucius?
Yeah.
Huh.
Duelist, I can understand. Yeah. Potioneer was new to me.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Runs in those Slytherins.
Hmm.
Abraxas was a word of mystic meaning in the system of the Gnostic, but I don't know how to say that. Being there applied to the great archon.
I understood all of that.
An ancient charm composed of Greek letters. Originally believed to have magical powers and inscribed on amulets, etc. But from the 2nd century AD personified by...
As a deity?
Gnostics as a deity.
Deity.
The source of divine emanations.
So it has magical history.
Okay. Cool. We'll take it. All right.
Yeah, potioneer, that's weird.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just throwing this out there as well, like, Pottermore out of nowhere says that Draco's a Legilimens.
Yeah.
Like, where did that come from?
I don't know. I'm going to need a little more elaboration on that. Dear Joe. Yeah, really.
Like, would he have not used that in Half-Blood Prince?
If he would have used it all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. So Fred claims via Arthur, so he's getting all this info from his dad, that Lucius was a big supporter of Voldemort and right in his inner circle. And when he disappeared, claimed to have never meant any of it. So Imperius or, you know, whatever kind of lie he said. But I said how right Arthur is. And it makes me question how much Arthur knows about Lucius, but has maybe no physical proof of.
Oh, yeah. He's got to have all the dirt on him.
Well, because like, Arthur always says, you know, like, he just would do anything to get him in jail, you know?
Yeah, and we cover that later. Yeah, next chapter, actually.
Arthur is Harry and Lucius is Draco. It's like that kind of relationship.
It kind of is. You're right.
Well, because they're about the same age, aren't they? Arthur and Lucius are, like, similar.
I don't know. When was Lucius born? 54. Arthur was born in 50, so.
Yeah,
they were so close. They were at school together. Yeah.
Interesting.
I knew that Lucius was older than, like, Lily and James.
Yeah.
So I knew, you know.
Mm-hmm. By 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I wrote, we have plenty of time to chat about Malfoy Senior later.
Oh, yeah.
Jinx.
You owe me a pop, Kate.
Give me a Coke. I love a Coke. Name that movie.
Nope.
Ooh, if one of our listeners sends me a message and you name that movie,
I'll send you a can of Coke.
We'll send you something. I love a Coke. All right. And then I wrote that we get to meet some new owls. We get to meet Errol, and he's the ancient family owl. And the name Errol, of English origin, means nobleman or leader. But then there's also a Scottish origin, which means to wander. So I wrote, what? But I would take it as the Scottish origin because I feel like Errol, it's not his fault. He wanders. He's old. He needs to retire.
He's not a leader.
No.
But maybe he was.
Maybe in a previous owl life. And then we meet.
Or maybe he's just really old.
Well, he is really old.
So he's just forgetful.
Could be. Wanderer by age.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we meet Hermes, which in Greek mythology is the son of Zeus. And what is that? How do you say that?
Maya.
All right. The messenger of the gods, and the god of merchants, thieves, and oratory. He was portrayed as a herald equipped for traveling with broad-brimmed hat, winged shoes, and a winged rod.
Makes sense.
Very much. I knew who Hermes was, but I just wanted to
know him from Hercules.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I always think of those winged shoes.
Goes on a rope. Yeah, those, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's on Netflix now.
Just Hercules? So
yep.
I know. I've watched it, like, 3 times.
Okay. And then I said that seems to be a fitting name for that particular owl.
Mm-hmm.
We find out Percy's been sneaky and sending letters all summer, hauled up in his room.
What's going on?
And Arthur, we find out, works in the misuse of Muggle artifacts office. And so I guess that's why I put this in here because I wanted to ask it and I didn't want to really save it for lightning bolt round, but I'm asking, how did he know about Harry's incident, like with the pudding and stuff? And then I wrote, is pudding considered to be a Muggle artifact because it's Muggle made?
That's a good point.
Because that is a misuse if it lands on a Muggle, if you're, you know, charming a cake or a pudding or whatever. To fall on a Muggle, that would be a misuse.
Well, I do know that the misuse of Muggle artifacts office shares a floor with the Aurors, but I wonder if it also shares...
I think that's too little for them to even deal with, the Aurors.
Well, the misuse of Muggle artifacts office deals directly with the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. It's a division of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. So that's probably how.
Okay. I was just wondering. Oh, and then we get a really cool description of some of the things that Arthur goes through at work. So I wanted to read just a little excerpt. The teapot incident is what we will call it. So he's been working overtime for weeks, and they ask what happened when a Muggle woman bought a teapot and tried to serve her friends.
This was funny.
Arthur says... The teapot went berserk and squirted boiling tea all over the place, and one man ended up in the hospital with the sugar tongs clamped to his nose. Oh, I guess Arthur doesn't say this. Somebody else says this. Because it says, Dad was going frantic.
They're still in the car talking about Arthur.
We're in the car. Dad was going frantic. It's only him and an old warlock named Perkins in the office, and they had to do memory charms and all sorts of stuff to cover it up. And then I said, we hear about memory charms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which has a large role in this book. Mm-hmm. And we also find out that the Weasleys live outside of the village of Ottery St. Catchpole. And I looked it up because I was curious. And Rowling went to university, or if you're from the U.S., we say college, near Ottery St. Mary. So I thought that was interesting. I'm not exactly sure how she came upon Catchpole. But she went to school near Ottery St. Mary.
I love that she puts little pieces of herself in there, you know?
Yeah, really cool. And then we also find out a few other wizarding families live there, like the Fawcetts, the Diggorys, and the Lovegoods.
The Lovegoods.
Mm-hmm.
Please keep off the dirigible plums.
Mm-hmm.
True.
So we come to the burrow.
That was a mighty chop.
Tiffany eating that pizza.
I like pizza. I like pizza.
So, an excerpt from the book On the Burrow. I thought it would be good to read, like, the description of the burrow because I love it.
Yeah.
Okay. It looked as though it had once been a large stone pig pen, but extra rooms had been added here and there until it was several stories high and so crooked it looked as though it were held up by magic, which Harry reminded himself it probably was. Four or five chimneys were perched on top of the red roof. A lopsided sign stuck in the ground near the entrance read, The Burrow. Around the front door lay a jumble of rubber boots and a very rusty cauldron. Several fat brown chickens were pecking their way around the yard.
Brown.
I don't know.
Brown.
Yes, yes, Tiffany.
Sometimes the Weasleys get called Weasel. Weasels live in burrows.
Tiffany.
Ah! I've been saving that.
Oh my God. Wait till we get to a later part. That's so going to match up.
Really?
Yep. I'll wait.
Okay.
In this chapter?
Yes. Don't forget it.
I will.
Okay.
I wrote it down.
Look at my arms.
She's really excited.
I have like T-Rex arms. I'm so excited.
That's so awesome.
Carry on.
I always wonder why it was called that.
I know. The Weasleys. Weasels live in burrows.
He's
so excited.
I just love
So why I love the burrow so much is because I think that it's super relatable to like real life. Like whenever you're in the Dursleys' home, it's so cold and unwelcoming. It's like basically from a magazine, right? Like I hate.
It's not lived in.
Yes. Yeah. I hate houses that are like that. Mm-hmm. They are cold. They
stark.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah, they don't feel homey. They don't feel lived in, yeah. So the burrow reminds me kind of like my home growing up and my house currently. Because I'm not saying that because I grew up on like a farm, because they talk about like chickens and pig, like a pig pen and that kind of stuff. I'm talking like it never looks pristine. It was totally, that's just totally like us. It's messy. It's lived in. It's perfect. And that's how I envision like the whole Weasley household. You know, things are out of place. It's messy, but like organized, because like you know where everything is, but it's all over the place. That to me is like a real house. You know what I mean?
I got you.
So that's why I love the Burrow so much. Now Molly obviously sees them land the car. They don't think that she's going to see them land the car.
Look out.
But she is awake and she is on fire and described as a saber-toothed tiger. Jeez. Guys, that rhymed and you messed it up.
What did you say?
I don't even remember.
Oh my God.
I wonder if her
I was stuck it. On fire because all I see is her walking out just like whoosh,
in my head. Something like she's on fire and she's described as a saber-toothed tiger.
Oh my God.
She is.
No, I'm laughing at you.
I was going to say, because she doesn't have red hair, right? I was going to say she's on fire like all her children. Doesn't Mr. Weasley have the red hair?
They both do.
I didn't remember if she did or not.
Katie, that's ridiculous.
I'm sorry. Who's Harry Potter?
I can't even be friends with you. I can't be married to you.
I'm not. No. Tiffany's showing me the door.
Divorce. Divorce.
Right on the podcast. And we'll be back.
Excuse me.
We're going to have one of our listeners be like commenting on this episode like, oh my God, I can't believe that one of them didn't know that Mrs. Weasley had red hair.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
I love you.
I was picturing something else.
Obviously. So obviously Molly has every right to be like really angry at them.
Yeah. It's dangerous business.
In this room, like, this right here is just, like, perfect. They did it perfectly in the movies. There's, like, beds empty, no note, car gone, could have crashed. I like how she says, did you care?
Did you care? She's, like, just speaking in, like, broken sentences that are still just stabbing them.
But you know what? I bet she had been practicing what she was going to say.
Yeah. Pacing the kitchen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We never had trouble like this from Bill or Charlie or Percy. She'll change her tune about Percy later. But do you guys think that she was expecting Arthur to be angry? Because, well, he didn't really get angry. I mean, we'll talk about that later. But do you think she was expecting him to, like, just be on her side with this?
Yeah.
Probably.
And then he comes home and he's just like, how'd it go?
Well, she was at least wanting him to, like, hand out some sort of punishment or some kind of speech. And, you know, his curiosity
got the best
is just, you know, it's too much.
Okay. So immediately Molly ushers them inside for breakfast and we get to see the inside of the Burrow, which is even more perfect than the description of the outside, in my opinion. I just love everything about the Burrow. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we get to see for the first time the clock. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to read the description of it because I like it.
I like it a lot.
The clock on the wall opposite him had only one hand and no numbers at all. Now, this is different than how they do it in the movies, isn't it? I don't know. Okay, I'll just keep reading.
I can't remember.
Written around the edge were things like, time to make tea, time to feed the chickens, and you're late. So, like, it doesn't say, like, I love how they made it in the movies, how, like, everybody is, like, on a spoon.
In peril.
Yeah, one. Yeah. Well, that is on there.
Yeah.
Because they talk about that in the book later, because, like, when it's war, everybody's pointing to in mortal peril.
In mortal danger or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously she doesn't list all of the things on the clock, but yeah. Books were stacked three deep on the mantelpiece. Books with titles like Charm Your Own Cheese, Enchantment in Baking, and 1 Minute Feasts. It's Magic. Oh my God, I wish.
I know.
And unless Harry's ears were deceiving him, the old radio next to the sink had just announced that coming up was Witching Hour with the popular singing sorceress Celestina Warbeck.
Hey!
I love her.
Mm-hmm.
So Mrs. Weasley makes sausages for breakfast.
Does.
Shout out to Sarah.
Shout out to Sarah.
And Ginny makes her first appearance and is ridiculously shy around Harry. I think that it's crazy to think, like, who she turns into later in the books from, like, this little
scared
glimpse we get of her.
Scared little thing.
Well, I love book Ginny. Right. So after eating, the twins want to go back to bed, but Mrs. Weasley puts the kibosh on that pretty quick. And it's time to denome the garden. Who remembers denoming the garden in Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the video game?
I do. That's amazing.
I didn't play it.
Tiffany need to play it.
Tiffany over here, the gamer.
Yep.
Never played Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
You know what I was doing? Playing
Pokemon.
Zelda.
Oh, Zelda.
And Pokemon. Yep.
Hey, I was playing Pokemon too, and I still had time.
Well, my bad. I'm not perfect.
I loved it. You like had to spin them around and make them dizzy, and then it was like a contest if you could throw further than Fred or George or Ron. It's fun.
It's awesome.
So this is also our first mention of Lockhart. Molly wants to see how Gilderoy would denome the garden in Gilderoy Lockhart's Guide to Household Pests. He has a book for everything.
Which is really someone else's guide to household pets because he doesn't know anything.
Right. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, Lockhart sucks.
They describe him as having wavy blonde hair and bright blue eyes. Yes.
Forget me not blue.
Forget me not.
But that's coming in the next chapter.
So, wavy.
I liked how it's Harry says in the book that the garden was large, and in Harry's eyes, exactly what a garden should be. The Dursleys wouldn't have liked it, because there were plenty of weeds, and the grass needed cutting, but there were gnarled trees all around the walls, plants Harry had never seen spilling from every flower bed, and a big green pond full of frogs. And lastly, sorry, I'm still getting over this like cold cough thing. I love Ron's description of muggle garden gnomes.
Yeah.
He says they are like fat little Santa Clauses with fishing rods.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I never thought of that.
And a lot of them nowadays are mooning you.
Yes.
Yeah. What are these gnomes?
I don't know.
These gnomes are getting really risque.
They just like to, you know, show off a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. Flaunt it, right? Am I right?
They don't got it.
In reality, actual gnomes have a potato-looking head and are small and leathery-looking. They have horny little feet.
They sound just disgusting.
But I have a question. Is denoming a garden animal cruelty?
Nah.
I don't know.
Animal cruelty?
I guess it's kind of similar to, like, if you had, like, an infestation of snakes or something in your garden
snakes.
I mean, I would never touch a snake.
Really? Nice and cute.
The Slytherin, fear is snakes.
Their little eyes and their little tongue. It's like,
I think they're cute.
They're adorable.
Nope.
Jeez.
I hate them.
Well, you're not controlling any basilisks anytime soon.
Mm-mm. Nope, and I don't want to. But I guess I would imagine it to be something like that. Like, I mean, you're going to get rid of pests you're spinning them around and throwing them across the lawn.
They got that big lumpy potato head.
In their defense, though, they're biting them, too.
That's true.
So they're lucky they're not, like, killing them.
That's true.
And they like to live there.
Yeah, because Mr. Weasley thinks they're funny.
Yep.
It's such a dad / Mr. Weasley thing.
It is. I bet he tells really good dad jokes.
Oh, my God. I want to hear all the Mr. Weasley dad jokes. So speaking of, this is when we get to meet him. He's described as a thin man. He has glasses. He's going bald, but the hair that he still has is as red as any of his children's. And he's wearing long green robes. I like that it's mentioned that they're dusty and travel-worn because we know that the Weasleys are poor.
Yeah.
His birthday is February 6, 1950. He's obviously a Gryffindor. His Patronus.
Hello.
Is a weasel.
Oh. Hello.
So I looked up.
Which Mrs. Weasley's?
I don't know.
Maybe it's also a weasel.
I looked up what that Patronus might mean, and there was an article I found just on Tumblr, so I don't know like how credible it is, but it was still kind of cool to read. So it said that they have, the person who has a weasel Patronus usually has a hardworking attitude. Mm-hmm. They're always ready to lend a hand, mm-hmm. and it's likely they enjoy whatever task is at hand. And they often excel in most of what they do, but are always very modest about it. And I thought that fit him very well.
That's cute.
They don't list one.
Dear Joe. That's the second Dear Joe this episode. Seriously, Twitter.
I bet that it's a weasel, though, because, like, if you think about it, their relationship and love for each other, I view very similar to, like, James and Lily, how they were just, like, meant to be, right?
Yeah.
And James and Lily's Patronus meshed together.
What about Ron and Hermione's, though? Is there an animal that, like...
Well, don't dogs like to chase otters?
That specific dog.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How theirs like have a connection. Right, I wonder if she has anything that has a connection with a weasel or if it's another weasel.
That's a good point.
I wonder. I wonder.
Anybody have any ideas?
Jenny's. What is Jenny's?
Isn't it a horse?
Oh, that's right. Which I guess is kind of similar.
I'm sorry.
It's similar to a stag.
Jury's out on Jenny for me.
You don't like her?
She's not my favorite.
She's not my favorite
either. I really hate movie Jenny.
Well, yeah, she's terrible.
I love
No offense Jenny. To the actress, though. That's right. Not her fault.
But is it?
Well,
they gave her like 30 lines.
They just made her like straight. I don't know. I can't do it right now. We're not doing movie stuff right now. It's too much for me to handle.
So it lists.
I enjoy movie, book, Jenny.
The book is of Jenny. That was another
the bookism of Jenny.
So his hobbies are studying how the Muggle world works. And I know we touched a little bit on his job, but I looked at a little bit more. Yes.
Ooh, double hands.
Really quick.
Yep.
I view Arthur's love and obsession with Muggle artifacts as kind of like a parallel between the fans' obsession with magic. Like, we are Arthur.
Yeah.
But, like, opposite, you know?
I got you.
Yes.
Just a little connection I made.
One of my favorite things about Arthur as well is how he mispronounces everything Muggle-related.
And, like, we mispronounce everything wizard-related and have to figure it out.
Very true.
We are all Arthur.
Like, Felitone and Escapators.
Oh, my God, Escapators.
I laughed so hard when I read that again. So he works at the ministry at the Misuse of Muggle Artifacts office. It's just him and an old warlock named Perkins. Why is it called a warlock? Well, I looked it up.
Oh, do tell.
And it's kind of interesting. I believe this is from, I don't have like a super credible source. Oh, actually, I do. I think it's in, what's that book called? Beetle and the Bard.
Oh, okay.
It's from the story Warlock's Hairy Heart, I believe. So it's a very old term. Really, it's just used these days either to describe a wizard of unusually fierce appearance, poor Perkins, or a title denoting particular skill or achievement. So, like, Dumbledore himself was chief warlock of the Wizengamot. Wizengamot? Did I say that right? Wizengamot. So it's just, like, an old word for wizard, pretty much.
So nothing fancy.
It used to be
it's
something
kind of
fancier,
like B.A. Like, you, like, if you have that term, you're like a B.A.
Yeah.
Bad A double snakes. For those of you
bad
who don't
butt.
Know.
Bad butt.
Don't know
a
that.
Bad bottom.
Long bottom.
So his office is meant to keep enchanted items out of the hands of Muggles. And my doc made that mug. Muggles are forever called mugs.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
It's like no Madge, the mugs.
Out of the hands of mugs.
Ron calls it the most boring department, and they also are known to create laws and regulations, and they participate in raids to help capture dark magic items.
See, that doesn't seem boring to me.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
I actually, whenever the kids were talking about Arthur in the car, and Ron kind of like made it be known that he thought that his dad's job was boring. Mm-hmm. I just put like a little sad face. I'm like, why? His job is cool.
I think Ron feels often let down.
Yeah.
By his dad.
And I don't get...
I feel like Ron wants to be really, really cool and important. Mm-hmm. And I think he views his dad as, like, not that, which is totally wrong because Arthur's amazing.
No, right. He's totally awesome.
I can see that, though.
Yeah.
But just, like, the fact that they're poor and, like, he always gets sucked into everything.
Yeah.
He's just kind of let down in general in his eyes, I think.
Ron just needs to sort out his priorities.
He does.
Ron will be fine after he saves the Wizarding World with his best friend, Harry.
That's true.
Spoiler.
Well, he's kind of a doofus, though, if you count Cursed Child.
Well.
Do we?
The awkward uncle.
Unfortunately, I do, because they said it's canon.
And everything you just said is a lie.
Anyway.
Don't hit me!
I mean, I would think that, like, him and Hermione have to have money, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they're loaded.
I mean, she's the minister.
She's bringing in bank. So.
And he runs the joke shop with George.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, though, like, that shop has to be banking.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Especially after the war. You think people, like, how many people loved Fred?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go support George.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and after that, you need some laughter in your life.
Yeah.
Which is true. So Mr. Weasley is so tired from the 9 raids that he worked overnight. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Get your hand off my
belt. Let it linger.
Or he just has so many children he doesn't even notice Harry at first.
I would go with that one.
Yeah. Or he's
but
too
Harry
busy.
Has dark hair.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
he's
but he
tired.
Just comes and he just sits down and puts his head in his hand, you
I guess
know,
that's true.
And he's like, oh, 9 raids.
9!
Or he's too busy getting yelled at by Mrs. Weasley about the flying car.
Mm-hmm.
I would never work a job that had me work overnights.
But he needs
he's got
money.
7 children.
I mean, I guess.
What are you going to do? There's some crazy teapot going nuts.
I also
can't have sugar
would.
Tongs on noses, man.
I also would not have 7 children, so.
More to love.
So it brings up muggle baiting, which I thought was kind of funny. It's really rude of wizards, but
mm-hmm.
it's kind of funny.
But hilarious.
It's hilarious, yeah. So like the biting kettle or the shrinking door keys. And I wrote the quote from the book of what he said. So Mr. Weasley says, "Sell them a key that keeps shrinking to nothing so they can never find it when they need it. Of course, it's very hard to convict anyone because no muggle would admit that their key keeps shrinking. They'll insist they just keep losing it. Bless them. They'll go to any lengths to ignore magic, even if it's staring them in the face. But the things our lot have taken to enchanting, you wouldn't believe." And then there goes Mrs. Weasley. Like cars, for instance.
Dude, she was waiting for an opening. I love her.
That argument is one of my favorite moments in the entire series.
Do you think that it ever got brought up, like, later in life?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at any given moment she had. Like cars, Arthur.
And, like, not only would she bring it up, like, I would assume that the kids would bring it up as a joke, too. Like, oh, remember that time that
yes.
you were so mad that we stole the car and then Dad thought it was awesome?
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you're off the hook.
Oh, good times. So Ron takes Harry up to his room, and I think he's very nervous for Harry to see. First,
yeah,
he's nervous to see the whole house.
Yeah. Right.
But Harry just loves it.
Well, because Ron is so...
He's afraid of what people think.
Yeah, what's the word I'm looking for, though? Like, he's very...
Self-conscious.
Yeah.
Yes.
And not that he has a lot of things to be materialistic over, but he is a materialistic person.
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
So nearly everything... Everything in his room is a violent shade of orange.
Violent.
Violent. Because he loves the Chudley cannons. They're even on his bedspread.
That's so cute.
And I love the description of his room. It said, "Ron's school spellbooks were stacked untidily in a corner next to a pile of comics that all seemed to feature the adventure of Martin Miggs, the mad muggle," or mug. "Ron's magic wand was lying on top of a fish tank full of frog spawn on the windowsill next to his fat gray
spawn?
Rat.
Like the little eggs or like tadpoles and
oh,
stuff?
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. I'm just assuming that his room is like, you know, typical 12-year-old
it's
boy.
Probably,
messy.
I feel like it smells.
But like full of magic things instead of just like...
It's probably like our room in college.
I feel like it smells like socks.
Yeah, that's probably like our room in college.
Probably.
We were gross. Thank God we're not that bad anymore.
I am not gross.
I by no means am going to claim that our room is... put together.
Nope.
But it is not like college.
Nope.
I've just always been a tidy kid. I was actually talking to my mom about that the other day. She was like, "You always picked up your stuff and put it away." I was like, "That's right."
That's right, Mom. That's right. So Ron's watching Harry really nervous, and Harry just gets this big grin on his face and he says, "This is the best house I've ever been in."
Mm.
And Ron's ears went pink.
Pink.
That was a good bell.
Can I just say, Scabbers, you can suck it.
Yep.
Yeah, you don't deserve to snooze happily in a patch of sun.
You don't. You deserve no snoozes.
You deserve snoozes under a Dementor.
You deserve it. You deserve snoozes of death. I'll go there. That's fine. Tiffany doesn't know how to react.
Snooze of death.
It means you die.
Oh my god. Jeez. Are we at a lightning bolt round?
We are.
I have questions.
So do I.
Whoa. All right.
I don't.
Katie.
Katie.
I'll try to think of something.
All right. Well, I'll go at first then.
Okay.
How long do you think the lifespan of a house elf is if they come with old manors and castles? I feel like they're kind of passed down.
I think, okay, so I've thought about this before. And we can see at Grimald Place that, like, it is a generational thing. Because, like, Creature's mom worked for the Black family.
All their heads
on
the wall.
Her head is on the wall. Ugh. But, like, how did she have Creature? Do, like, rich families, like, mate their house elves with other rich families'
house elves?
Let's
not say mate. Let's say breed.
Breed.
Let's not.
Are people breeding house elves like they breed dogs?
That's what I'm kind of thinking.
Oh what God. If you really like the personality of this house elf, right. And you're like, I want another one of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do they have, like, two going around cleaning stuff?
I don't know.
No, I'm thinking, like, because, you know, it's always just Creature at Grimald Place, and it's always just Dobby at Malfoy Manor. Like, they must have bred them with another family's house elf.
But when, where's the little one running around? What's a baby house elf look like?
Oh, I don't
all
know.
All these
yeah,
things
I guess.
Are terrible.
God.
But I wouldn't think that, like, I don't think that their lifespan is, like...
I think it's long.
Really? I was going to think that it's...
I think it's abnormal. I think it's longer than, say, a muggle life.
Right. I can agree with that. But I don't think that it's going to be, like, thousands of years.
Oh, no.
I was going to say, like, 200.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Because we do know that, like, wizards and witches have a little bit of a longer lifespan.
I think if you have magic, it's automatically just going to be longer.
Right.
Interesting.
Assuming you don't know Harry Potter. Then it's very short.
Right.
Poor one out for Cedric Diggory.
And everybody else.
And all those other people.
I never thought of that before.
Yeah.
It's disturbing.
The things we talk about.
The Black family and the Malfoy family, like, is Dobby related to Creature? I don't know. He could be.
No.
But, like, what if Dobby's mom... bred with one of Creature's
peeps.
Yeah. They could be.
House elf breeding 101.
Yeah.
I'd like to know more.
Mm-hmm. Dear Joe.
Dear Joe.
Dear Hagrid.
How you made a house elf?
Dear Newt Scamander.
Yeah, there you go. I have one more, but I will let you go. Do you have them up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What Quidditch team would you support?
We've talked about this and I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
I'm just going to go with Puddlemere United because it's in that song that Celestina Warbeck sings.
That's Dumbledore's
Puddlemere
team, right?
United.
Don't I like I the Tuchel Tornadoes or something?
Yeah.
I chose like an Ireland team.
Yeah.
But I can't remember.
Montrose Magpies?
No.
I think actually I chose the Holyhead Harpies.
You did.
Because it's an all women's team. Go women! Woo!
Go women.
Girl power.
I don't remember.
We're going to take over the world. One Quidditch team at a time. Sorry, I'm done.
Okay.
Do you want to just skip that?
I just can't remember the name of the team.
I can't remember all of them either.
But I think I liked them because of their mascot.
I remember talking about it.
It was in our Quidditch The Aegis Felix file.
It is. So consult that and you'll know my answer.
Would you have been mad at your kids for rescuing Harry?
I would feel like Molly does. You know, like, she's mad, but she's not mad.
Agreed.
Like, she's mad in the way that it happened, but she's really happy Harry's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's probably what I would think.
I agree.
Yeah. If you could add something else to the clock, what would you add?
Ooh. Oh, that's dumb. That's already going to be on there. I was going to say food time.
Food time.
Pizza time.
Pizza time. Would you want it specifically to say pizza time?
Yes. I'd be on it all the time.
That's a tough one.
It is.
And I just thought of that on the fly.
Podcast time.
There you go.
I would like, I think it would be really cool if the clock told you, like, specifically, like, now is your time to go and relax.
I was going to say mandatory nap time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mandatory.
Just like mandatory relaxation.
Yeah. If you don't do it, you get hexed.
Yeah.
Or like video game time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I have one more that I wrote down.
Go for it.
How much do you think Arthur actually knew but couldn't speak about in regards to Malfoy Sr.?
Probably a lot.
A lot.
I would think that if he works for a division of the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, and
he's going to know everything that he did during the first war.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to know, yeah, everything that Lucius potentially was guilty for.
Mm-hmm.
And if he has dark objects, I think that he would be privy to that.
Yeah.
I also can see him, because he hates him so much, doing a little bit of his own investigation.
Outside research.
Yeah, just like poking around, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think the only reason why Malfoy Sr. got off was because of the prestige of the family as well as money?
Yes.
Do you think he paid it off?
Oh yeah. But then
I wonder
at the same,
who he had to pay.
I was going to say, like, at the same time, like, would they do that because...
That's Voldemort, dude. But you have people who are crappy everywhere...
I bet he paid for it.
Right, but like Barty Crouch put his own son in jail. You think he's gonna
But he had different
values.
He had a backbone. Fudge didn't have a backbone.
Was Fudge was a minister.
You mean
at the time.
Lucius?
No.
Wait, who are you talking about?
I'm saying he may have paid off the Minister of Magic.
Oh. Mm. Well, but yeah, because you know Lucius and Fudge were like buddy buddy.
But was Fudge minister at the time?
I don't know.
I don't think he was.
Probably not.
I mean, we can look that up. That's in her ebook. Yeah.
I can see him schmoozing whoever it was, though.
Yeah, and if you think about it, if those people, there's, I'm not trying to speak ill of government, but you have some terrible people in there that will do,
oh yeah,
awful
in
things for
country.
Money, for money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
politics is always about money. So.
Politics.
Yep.
It's like a curse word. Bleep those.
I know.
Taboo.
All right. I have no more questions.
I was going to say, what other household pests do you think would be in Lockhart's book?
Hmm.
Certainly not Cornish pixies.
Well, I don't know.
Round them up.
Sense that they should be.
I know.
But are they a household pest, though?
Yeah, because they have to get rid of them. Doxies.
Are.
Doxies.
Are, for sure.
Never mind. Doxies. Yeah, okay. They get rid of those in Grimmauld Place.
Boggarts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of an evil household pest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poor Molly.
Dude. I can't even. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, little creatures.
Rats.
Ooh, what about
rats.
Flesh-eating slugs?
Yeah.
What is that about, though?
That's really scary. I didn't even think about it till right now.
Think about flesh-eating slugs. So were they, like...
leeches?
Eating yours or each other's fleshes? Flesh?
Your pets?
What's happening with these...
I don't know.
Flesh-eating slugs. Scroots.
No, well, those were created. Spirits. They're not household pests.
Yeah.
Although knowing Hagrid, he probably lost control of them and they now live everywhere. But, you know.
They can survive all climates.
Yep. Unfortunately.
That's all I got.
Alrighty, Rue.
I didn't think of any. Sorry. What?
Warning.
I have a recorded fan story to put in. I'm sorry. I didn't tell you that. Hey, guys. This is Jessica Mosier. My part of the story is kind of like everyone else's on here. My mom bought me the first two books when I was younger, and I never really got into them, so I never finished them. And then about a year later, I think my dad forgot that my mom got me the books, because he got me the same two. I decided to give them a try, and I fell in love immediately this time. I was a huge reader, so every time a new book came out, I read it, you know, front to back before I could sleep. I just had to know what happened. I love the movies now, but back then I wasn't really into watching TV, so mostly I just fell in love with the books.
In high school and kind of most of my life, I've always kind of felt like an outsider. So I've really felt like a really, really strong connection with Luna and Neville. And I love just being able to escape into the series. And I wish I could go to Hogwarts for real. But the older I get, the more my love for Harry Potter just grows. And I really appreciate this podcast. And thank you for having me.
Seriously. All right. Yeah. Go Jessica. Ahead.
I mean,
I feel like she's kind of like a personal friend of mine, actually. She's in the fitness group that we're in. Mm-hmm. She's a Phoenix patron. So mm-hmm. we get to see her every month. And so I feel like I have a really strong connection with her. And I don't know. I love that her dad bought her the books too. I love it. That's, you know, dad would do that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, I'm guessing and assuming she's probably close to our age. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, yes, a lot of people who are our age have a similar Potter story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
It was great. Very common mm-hmm. to, like, not get into the book right away. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you decide, yeah, I have to read this. And then you read it and, like, you're just obsessed.
I really just don't remember how I got the first book.
Oh, I do. One day it's going to hit you.
I really hope it does. I honestly don't remember. I don't remember ever being like, oh, I'm not reading that.
Right.
I was a brat about it.
I just don't remember.
My mom would just tell me over and over. She's like, just read it. Everybody's reading it. I'm like, yeah, mom, everybody's reading it. Because, you know, that's how I was.
I can't be mainstream.
Right.
But I have this very vivid memory of taking Sorcerer's Stone to my grandma's house, my Grammy's house. I think I was sleeping over, and I read until Keeper of the Keys, and then I just put it down.
Yep.
Yeah.
I read the first, what is that, 3 chapters? And I was like, I'm bored. Mm-hmm. And I just put the book down.
Mm-hmm. See, and I'm never did that. I powered through.
Like, one more paragraph, Meg. One more paragraph, and you would have been hooked earlier.
I don't remember being that bored with it, though.
I didn't like, I think I read the first two.
I just think that the first couple chapters in the first book just kind of drag a little bit.
And when you read them again, though, they don't.
Also, you're a couple years older than us. So maybe your attention was just better than mine.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It'd be.
So, I don't know.
I do love that Jessica said as she gets older, her love for it only grows. And that is so true.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was a big fan when I first, like, you know, when my parents took me to see the movie and then finally I dove into the books mm-hmm. and it was like, okay, I was on Christmas break for 2.5 weeks. Boom. I'm reading all 4 of them. Mm-hmm. And I just zoomed through all 4 in 2 weeks. And I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with Harry Potter. I love everything about Harry Potter. I'm going to go see the movie every week. That's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. My parents hated it because I made them go see the movie every week. Literally every week until it was out of theaters. And I'm talking like not just regular theaters. I'm talking like the discount theater that kept it for months. Went to see it every week.
Gosh.
So, mind you, that was when movies were $1 at that theater. It was the Parma Theater. It was $1 to go. But, I totally agree with that. Like, as I grow older, especially because, like, my parents aren't funding my obsession. I'm funding my obsession. Right. So, like, I have obviously different priorities with my money than my parents did. Obviously. So I set aside the money to go to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter how many times a year? Like, mm-hmm. That is a priority to me.
Yeah.
And people always, I mean, like, people at work, people who are just friends of mine who, like, aren't Harry Potter friends, but just friends. Like, they just don't.
Because there's a different class.
They just true. Don't get it. And, like, not only do I have an obsession with Harry Potter and Universal, but, like, me and Katie also have this obsession with Disney. And it's, like, people just don't understand how we go as often as we do. And it's, like, well, that's literally just, like, a priority.
It's how you want to spend your time.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, some people go and put their money into, I don't know,
stocks and bonds,
stuff that isn't Harry Potter.
And then me and Katie are literally like, oh, do you want to go to this concert? Do you want to go to this? Do you want to go to that? And we're like, no,
I'd rather save my money.
I would rather save my money and go to Florida again. Yeah. So, like, yeah, the obsession's real.
Lightning bolt question.
Okay, but take it back.
If you could go back in time to yourself when you were 10 or whenever you picked up the book, how would you describe your level of obsession that would be coming in the future?
Wait,
like, how would you prep your...
Like, looking at myself now.
Yeah.
As like, if I was 10 and I saw myself in somebody else, how would I describe that person? Kind of like their level of obsession.
No, like, what would you tell your child self that your obsession was going to become now? Like, kid, you don't even know.
You going to be nuts.
You want to know what I would tell myself?
That is what I asked you.
I would. I would be like, Meg,
save your money.
No, I was gonna say, Meg, you tell your parents to buy you all of that early 2000s Harry Potter merchandise.
Yeah,
that stuff is worth money, first of all, and second of all, it's so cool because it's like the book illustration merchandise, and I love that stuff.
Yeah,
and I have like none of it, and it's also expensive on eBay. I want it.
A real pout.
I think my kid self wouldn't be surprised where I'm at right now.
I can agree with that.
I have always vowed to essentially like never grow up.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because I see that it's kind of useless. I see all these people taking everything. I don't know.
You can't take things.
I'm an adult.
Seriously.
I'm responsible. I have my own home. I pay my bills. Like, you know, I'm a solid human. I teach other little humans, for crying out loud. But there's no reason for me to give up whimsy and magic.
Yeah.
Hashtag solid human.
I'm a solid human.
No, but I like that a lot.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't understand, like, again, people don't get why I want to go to Disney all the time, or I'm so obsessed with Harry Potter, like, oh, that's kid stuff, blah, blah, blah. And it's like,
nah,
no,
it's
not. That's just a passion. That's just a love for something. You can be 27 and still love going to Walt Disney World. It's okay.
Yeah.
You can still love reading Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone over again.
I will still dress up and hold a wand and shout spells. I'm sorry. I'm gonna. Yeah. I don't care how much you judge me.
And guess what? When I have kids, I'm gonna do that with them.
Yep.
Because I don't want to be that parent that doesn't want to do that with them. Like, oh no, like that's kid stuff. No, that's people stuff. I do it with my kid.
It's people stuff.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
No, I get it.
Absolutely.
Like, I hate the parents that are like, oh, I hate going to Disney World. It's just kid rides. It's like, no, I'm 27. I love the Winnie the Pooh ride. It's okay. You can love the Winnie the Pooh ride. You know that you do. Just admit it. It's freaking adorable.
She's on a soapbox, friends.
Now that I've ranted for like a half hour.
Step off.
I'm going to talk about social media.
There it is. There's your transition.
Oh, it's a beautiful
Jessica, transition. Thank you for your story.
Thank you, Jessica. Look what you inspired.
Jeez.
Shout out to all of the adult kids out there listening.
Hey, I got
like SpongeBob.
I got to tell you, though, yes. If you were to take a poll of Potter fans, I guarantee you're going to get more adults.
Oh, yeah.
Than
oh, yeah.
Get kids.
Just well, because it's our generation.
Yep.
I'm not going to go on another rant. So, guys, make sure that you join our Facebook group to use for discussion on each episode. We love chatting with everybody on there. And also make sure that you like our page to get all of the latest info on when things are released and any news that we have to bring you. We are Swish and Flick Podcast on Facebook or Swish Flick Cast on Twitter and Instagram. You can also join us on Patreon for lots of exclusive content and other surprises.
Sweet surprises.
Our Bo Truckle and higher patrons get access to the Felix Files.
Felix Files.
We bring you a special Patreon-only podcast every other week. It is released on Wednesdays, every other Wednesday. Our Phoenix-level patrons also join us for a monthly Google Hangout, which is always a blast, and they get to be a guest on the Felix Files. So if any of that sounds at all fun or interesting, make sure you go to patreon.com/swishflickcast and choose your support level. It helps us to be able to afford equipment to make us better and monthly fees to keep the podcast going.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Mm-hmm.
All right, friends, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Just my voice!
call me
Episode 25 and episode 26.
I smell like chocolate.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.